beginning on page 883 of the Pew Bible. Page 883, Luke chapter 23, verses 1 through 25. This is the word of the Lord. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, the King." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. This is the word of the Lord. Who is Jesus? Who do you say that he is? In the trial of Jesus, before the chief priests and the elders, we found that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. This was the testimony from his own lips, and it must be the testimony upon our lips. And now in Luke chapter 23, we find this testimony proved true. As Jesus stands before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, and before Herod, the Jewish king of Judea. At that time, Judea was under the occupation of Rome, and the Jews were free to worship at the temple so long as they remained loyal to Caesar, so long as they remained loyal to the emperor of Rome. And so the chief priests and the elders were very shrewd in their charge against Jesus before Pilate. We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. In their own courts, they accused him of blasphemy. But now they wish for Pilate to sentence him to death. So they accuse him of leading an insurrection against the Roman Empire. For this reason, Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers him, "You have said so." Pilate found no guilt in him, and he would have released him. But the chief priests and now even the crowds were speaking against him. His own rejected him. They were urgent in their cries. He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place. And this was true. He did teach throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to Jerusalem. For Jesus' ministry began in Galilee, and now it must end in Jerusalem. And the mention of Galilee certainly would have given Pilate pause. For Galilee was understood as a breeding ground for insurrection. And learning that Jesus was from there, he sent him to Herod, under whose jurisdiction Galilee fell. Now this was not the Herod who had sent wise men to find the Christ, who had put the children of Bethlehem to death. This was his son. This was the Herod who put John the Baptist to death. And we read that when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad. And so his response is quite different from the response of his father. When his father heard of Jesus, he was afraid. But this Herod is glad, and he had long desired to see him. He was hoping to see some sign, some wonder done by him. But though he questioned him at length, Jesus made no answer to him. He remained silent before him. And whereas his father had sought to kill Jesus, this Herod mocks him and treats him with contempt. For the one before him did not speak with authority. They showed no wonders. He manifested no powers. Perhaps Herod even wondered what it was that had filled his father with fear. As this pretender king mocks the true king, he must have felt secure on his throne. For this one before him, he found him to be as weak as a lamb. And in this, he was not wrong. Why did Jesus remain silent before Herod? Why did he not let him hear the authority of his voice? Why did he not let him behold his power? Why did he remain silent? Herod may have wondered, but we need not. We need only read the scriptures, for in them we find the answer. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Truly, Jesus is the Christ. Herod does with him as he pleases, as one would do with a lamb. He arrays him in the splendid clothing of a king, and mocking him, returns him to Pilate. And in verse 12, we read something curious. We read that Herod and Pilate then became friends with each other. That they became friends that very day. That before this day, that they had been at enmity with each other. But why are we told this? Why are we told that Herod and Pilate became friends? Certainly because it was true. But what difference does that make to the story that is being told? As with Jesus' silence before Herod, so also Herod's friendship with Pilate. As Jesus' silence before Herod was the demonstration of the truth of who Jesus is, so also Herod's friendship with Pilate is a demonstration of the truth of Jesus' testimony, that he is the Christ, that he is the Christ in accordance with the scriptures. How does the friendship of Pilate and Herod demonstrate that truth, the truth of who Jesus is? Here we must turn to Psalm 2. And when we do, what do we find? Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. We are to read of the friendship of Pilate and Herod in the context of Psalm 2. We are to read it in the context of the kings and rulers of the earth taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. In Psalm 2, what binds the kings and rulers of the earth together? In Psalm 2, what makes them friends? It is their opposition to the Lord and to his Christ. What was it that made Herod and Pilate friends? It was the very same. It was their opposition to the Christ. They became friends in their opposition to Jesus. But you say, they did not find him guilty. Which is true. But they did not bend their knee to him. And whether you find Jesus abhorrent or harmless, if you do not bend your knee to him, you set yourself against him. In Acts chapter 4, as the church lifts up its voice together to God in worship, what do they say? Acts chapter 4, verse 24. Sovereign Lord, made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand had predestined to take place. And Herod and Pilate, we see the Jews and the Gentiles, we see the nations united in their opposition to Jesus. In their friendship, we see the nations bound together against the Lord and his anointed. There is a kind of friendship that one may forge with others in one's hostility to Christ. But a friendship such as this, built upon enmity toward God, it will not end in joy. For a friendship to end in joy, it must be forged in Christ. For no other fellowship can make our joy complete. And when Jesus had been returned to Pilate, Pilate did seek to release him. I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Nothing deserving death has been done by him. But they all cried out together, "Crucify him." Though Pilate was at first unwilling, they persisted in demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. And their voices prevailed. We must not overlook that Pilate sentenced to death a man whom he knew to be innocent. For this is the very definition of oppression. And this too was in fulfillment of the scriptures. This too demonstrates the truth of Jesus as the Christ in accordance with the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. As we behold Jesus before Pilate, as we behold him silent before Herod, as we behold him innocent, yet condemned to death, we find truly he was the Lord's anointed. Truly he was the Christ of God. There is more. We have not yet mentioned Barabbas. For even as the crowds cry for Jesus to be crucified, they cry for Barabbas to be released. And there is deep irony in the demand for Barabbas and his release. For the charge against Jesus, which was not true, against Barabbas, it would have been true. For Barabbas had been imprisoned for insurrection and murder. In Barabbas, we have a man of violence, but more than a man of violence. He was a man of violence who had taken up arms against the rule of Rome. He was a man of violence who had taken up arms against the rule of Caesar. He was guilty of the very thing of which Jesus was accused before Pilate. And so we have Jesus, who was innocent, condemned to death. Of Barabbas, who was guilty, being set free. As we contemplate the condemnation of Jesus and the release of Barabbas, we might see in it a picture of the gospel. The righteous suffering, the unrighteous delivered. The sinless one dying, and sinners set free. And while this is true, it misses something being revealed in our passage. What is it that we are to understand in the release of Barabbas and the condemnation of Jesus? We hear it in Barabbas' name. What does Barabbas mean? Barabbas. It means son of the Father. The condemnation of Jesus and the release of Barabbas is more than the condemnation of the innocent and the release of the guilty. It is a choice between two Christs. It is a choice between two sons, between Jesus, the Son of God, and Barabbas, the Son of the Father. Which do the people choose? The people reject the true Christ in favor of Barabbas. For in him, they had a Christ of their own desire. One who would do for them their good pleasure. One who would take up the weapons of this world to gain a kingdom in this world. And this is not what it meant for Jesus to be the Christ. That is not why he came. Did not come to take up the weapons of this world. Did not come to gain a kingdom of this world. He came to lay down his life in this world, that he might take it up in another. This is not the Christ which the people wanted. This is not the salvation they desired. And so they demanded that Barabbas be released, a Christ after their own image. And so they demanded that Jesus be crucified, for he was useless to them. And in the end, Pilate relents. Verse 25, he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. The passage ends with Jesus delivered over to the will of the people. Herod did with him as he pleased. Pilate did with him as he pleased. And now the crowds will do with him as they please. Let us not only read this, he delivered Jesus over to their will. Let us read it as we ought. He delivered Jesus over to our will. For in this life, even now, we are still able to do with Jesus as we please. What will you do with him? or you serve him. Or will you dismiss him? Will you love him? Or will you despise him? Will you follow him? Or will you mock him? Will you choose the Christ of your own desire? Or will you choose the Christ of God? Whatever you decide, do not forget how Psalm 2 ends. For this one who is led like a lamb to the slaughter, he is raised in glory and power. And at the end of this world, those who set themselves against him, they will perish in his way. Let us then not refuse to serve him. Let us not refuse to love him. Let us not refuse to follow him. This one who was delivered over to our will, let us now deliver ourselves over to his. May his will be done. Let us pray.